The scripture lesson for this morning will be from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and then verses also 13 through 23. If you'd like to follow along in the blue pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 804. I will be reading from the Message translation, so if you're following along, my version is a little different than yours. So again, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, and verses 13 through 23. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way that you see them. And don't jump all over them every time they say or do something that you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak on the faith department, remember they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around a while might well be convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another person with a different background might assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell to criticizing what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about: that you do not get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, and Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is holy in itself. We, of course, by the way we treat or talk about it, are the ones who can contaminate it. If you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or what they don't eat, you are no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are people for whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over an item on their diet? Don't you dare let a piece of God-blessed food become an occasion for soul poisoning. God's kingdom is not a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to be single-mindedly serving Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other, helping others with encouraging words. Don't drag people down by finding fault with them. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at the supper table to wreck God's work among you, are you? I said it before and I'll say it again. All food is good, but it can turn bad if you use it badly. If you use it to trip other people up and send them sprawling. When you sit down at a table, when you sit down to have a meal, your primary concern should not be to feed your own face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to others who are eating. Don't say or eat or do things that might interfere with the free exchange of love. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on other people. You're very fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. And if you're not sure, if you notice that you're acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, other days just trying to please them, then you know that you're out of line. If the way you live is not consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. There are a lot of things I do not understand. I don't understand how any of you can eat broccoli. I don't understand why some people would rather have a cat than a dog. Karen and I will be celebrating our 8th wedding anniversary this October, and there are things about her I still do not understand. For example, why is it, Karen will say to me, "Sweetheart, we should go out to dinner. Why don't you pick a place?" All the guys are laughing. I will pick 7 restaurants, and she'll say, "Well, I was just thinking we'd go to this restaurant." "So why didn't you just say that in the first place?" There are some things I don't understand. I don't understand how a Boeing 747 airplane can get off the ground and fly up in the sky. I don't understand how skyscrapers still stand after all that wind. I don't even know how you build a skyscraper. I don't understand that. I don't understand how a doctor can do brain surgery. I heard on the radio recently that there is more technology in our cell phones than there is when NASA put a man on the moon. I don't understand that. On a more serious note, I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand why celebrities and athletes get paid millions of dollars while teachers and social workers and people who benefit society get paid so little. I don't understand why people make assumptions about another person simply because the color of their skin is different than their own. There are a lot of things I don't understand. You know what else I don't understand? I don't understand why people who say that they love and they follow Jesus sometimes behave the way that they do. People who say that they know the 10 commandments, they follow God, they go to church, they believe that Jesus was born, he lived, he died, he was resurrected, he's now alive in heaven and he's alive in our hearts, and Jesus has told us how he wants us to live his life, and yet I still don't understand why some believers, some people who say they follow Christ, behave the way that they do. Sometimes I think Christians are like the little old lady who came face to face with the devil. It was a Saturday night, and the church, the local church in the center town was having a revival. That place was rocking. People were clapping, they were singing, they were jumping up and down, they were praying, they were parading, and the preacher was rocking, he was on fire. It was just a hopping place. A few blocks down the road, a group of friends were having a Halloween party, and so one fellow decided he was going to go as the devil. So he was walking to the party, and it started to rain just as he started to go past the church. Well, he didn't want his costume to get all wet, so he thought, "I'll just go into the church for a couple minutes till the rain passes, and I'll be on my way." Well, when he walked in the church and everybody saw him, they freaked out. And that was the only way out of the building, the only doorway. So people started throwing up their pamphlets, and they started jumping out the windows and jumping over the pews and getting out, except for one little old lady. She was still down front in her pew. So she calmly got up, picked up her jacket, picked up her bag, walked to the back of the church where this man in the devil costume was standing, and she came face to face with him, and she said, "I've been a member here for 40 years. And Mr. Devil, this is the first time you and I have ever been face to face, but I need you to know something. I've really been on your side the entire time." A few weeks ago, I was at the Alpha and Omega Christian bookstore in Greece. And once again, I found myself thinking, I don't know why some Christians behave the way that they do. I was browsing through the books, and there was a young couple behind me sitting at a table with a stack of Bibles in front of them. A store employee came over and said, "Can I help you with something?" And so they picked up one particular Bible, and they said, "Can you tell us about this Bible?" And she said, "Oh, that's a great study Bible. There's great notes in it. There's great pictures, great illustrations. And I really, really like this translation." They listened politely, and then they started to lecture her why that Bible was deficient. Now, to be honest with you, I did not hear the whole conversation, but I heard enough of it to know where the conversation was going. So they started to tell her why it was a bad Bible and it was deficient. And, you know, this word wasn't translated properly. And if you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, this is the way it should have been done. And people need to be reading the right Bibles and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, this guy who had done a few internet searches became a scholar in Greek and Hebrew. She told them, "Well, you know, I go to church, I read the Bible, I don't see anything wrong with this particular Bible." And they would not listen to her. They would not let it go. It got to the point where it seemed like they were more interested in proving her wrong than listening to what she had to say. And I got the feeling that she started to feel that way too. Then the conversation changed. They started telling her how they had come from a bad background and they had made some bad decisions and immoral decisions, but now they met Jesus and they just loved Jesus so much and they wanted to love other people so much and they loved studying their Bible and they were part of a Bible preaching church. Now I gotta be honest, I admire them for their courage to share their faith. It takes a lot of guts to do that. I am sure they were very sincere in what they believed and sincere in their love for God and for the church. And I actually agree with them. I think we as believers need to have our faces in the Bible. We need to be reading the Bible. But by that point, I had had enough and I walked out of the store. I couldn't take it anymore. I was afraid I would walk up to them and say, "I will never go to your church." I don't think Jesus wants a church that is so focused on its love for the Bible that it forgets to love people. Jesus did not die to save the Bible. Jesus died to save people. And people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know about the Bible until they know how much you care about them. Sometimes I don't understand. I just don't get it. And I think that's what Paul might have felt when he wrote the letter to Romans. Paul wrote the letter of Romans because he had never met this church before and he was getting ready to visit them. So he wrote this letter to kind of prepare them for his visit and to share with them the good news of Christ. So Paul tells them about how we are all sinners. We all are guilty before God. Every one of us. None of us are perfect. We all mess up. And that's why we need a Savior. We need someone who will take our place for us. And so Christ comes and he saves us and he loves us and he sets us free. And because we're saved, because we're loved, because we're free, our lives are supposed to be lived to signify Christ or to add significance to Christ, not to myself. It's not about me. Are you tired of hearing that yet? And then in Romans chapter 14, after Paul has kind of laid out, like, this is what Christ has done, and this is how we're supposed to respond to that with our life. Then in Romans chapter 14, Paul addresses something that has come up in the church, something that can cause some division in the church. There's a group of people, a group of believers, who believe that they should not eat meat. And the reason they feel that way is because in that time, in that culture, much of the meat that was available to buy was the leftovers from animals that had been sacrificed to pagan gods, to pagan idols. So this group of people felt like, this stuff is unholy. This is not part of something that I want to be part of. This is bad stuff. This was offered to a pagan god. I want nothing to do with this. And I feel like this is going to dishonor God if I have anything to do with this. So that was one group of people. And then there was another group of people in the church where they felt like they could eat anything they wanted. After all, in their mind, the pagan gods and the pagan idols, they're jokes. They're not real. It's baloney. So if they're not real, then anything offered to them is a joke as well. So we can eat whatever we want. And so these two groups started arguing with each other, and it started causing divisions in the church. And I wonder if Paul said to themselves, I don't get these people. I don't understand. Don't they get it? And so he writes to them. He says, listen, don't criticize each other. What helps this person grow closer to Christ might not help this person grow closer to Christ. Don't judge each other. Don't judge each other. Find ways to build up your own faith and to build up the faith of other people. And if you are doing something that causes another person to kind of drift away, causes another person to question their own faith, causes another person to wonder about God and how they're... If you're doing something that causes a person to do that, then stop doing it when you're with them. It's not complicated. And if you feel really passionate about something, you have a strong conviction about something, but you know that if you start having a conversation with somebody else and it's going to cause divisions, guess what? Don't talk about it. And if you really find the need that you have to talk about it, then talk to God about it. But don't cause divisions among yourself. Don't criticize each other. Don't judge each other over stupid things. When I was in college, I was walking across campus, and there was a pamphlet on the wall, big smiley face, and it said, come meet a friend you've never met. And it was an invitation to be part of the Christian group on campus, so I thought, well, that looks interesting. I'd like to be part of that. So I went to a couple of their meetings, and one night we were all gathered in this room, and there was a guitar lying on one of the chairs, and so I picked up the guitar. And no one was really paying attention. Everyone was mingling. But I picked up the guitar, and I started playing some Neil Diamond music. No one was paying attention to me. Everyone was kind of hanging out. And a leader from the group walked over to me. And he looked at me, and he said, oh, are you playing that pagan music again? Guess how many times I went back to that group. Don't criticize each other. Don't judge each other, especially over stupid things like a Bible translation or Neil Diamond. Don't let that garbage come between you. Instead, find ways to build up your faith and build up the faith of other people. And I don't know. Who knows? Maybe if you and I walked the walk and we talked the talk and we actually really loved Jesus and loved each other. I don't know. Maybe our neighbors, people outside this church, they would look at us and they'd say, you know, those Baptists at that big white church, I think they actually believe what they say. And they actually do like the things they say they're going to do. You know, those Christians, those are some people I don't understand. Amen.